Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for September 4th. We are continuing into the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians and turning now into the 25th verse where Paul says, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it's good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife?" I know I'm reading several verses. I'm going to bring these together. I don't think you can separate them contextually. "Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you." Okay, what's going on? First of all, when you see the phrase virgins, you're talking in the feminine here because Paul makes a distinction in verse 28. If you do marry, and then if a virgin marries, he's not trying to compare someone who's not a virgin marrying someone who is. I think it's a little more modern phenomenon to refer to virginity in the masculine sense. Almost throughout history in the literary world, when you talked about a virgin, you were talking about a female. And some of that, and I'm using conjecture here, okay? Some of that could be because throughout our history, men were considered more promiscuous, and it was an acceptable part of being a man. And it was, you didn't look at a man with the possibility of virginity. Virginity was considered a pure and holy thing that a young lady offered to her husband. So when you read in Corinthians, that part I was saying about conjecture is I haven't looked at the research on that word throughout history, but my own life of reading has taught me that in the literary accounts, virginity is considered a feminine thing. It's always referred to in the woman. So when you read something like 1 Corinthians 7 in which virgins are talked about, you need to think about it in that term. So when Paul says concerning virgins, he doesn't say concerning virginity. He's not talking about the state of not having had sex. He's talking about single unmarried women. There was no other way to refer to them than virgins. And it does assume that they are virgins. Yes, it does assume their virginity, but it's also a classification. He admits that he has no word from the Lord on this. It's not as if he's heard God say, tell married people this. This is not the first time you've heard Paul say this in the 7th chapter. He said it a little earlier. I say something as a concession, not a commandment. And now I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I'm giving judgment as one whom the Lord has made trustworthy. In other words, I hope you'll trust me. You've trusted the other things I've taught you. I hope you'll take my advice on this. I don't have a word from the Holy Spirit from you, but I do have some good fatherly practical advice from a shepherd to sheep. And so take it in that manner. Now, as we read that outside looking in, it's easy for us to understand why Paul's doing that, what might be, or why he says it's not from the Lord. Sometimes you need to tell people, look, I have an opinion. It's not necessarily from the Lord, but take it for what it's worth. They can take it or not take it. Looking from the outside in contextually, we realize that Paul, dealing with the present crisis, there's a great famine in Corinth. They're staring down the gun, so to speak, at the end of an age, the end of an era. It is very much on their minds. As I think I said yesterday or the day before, the New Testament writers are sort of yelling timber in the woods so everybody will get out of the way of the tree. And that system's coming down. They know it. They are highly anticipating Jesus coming in judgment against a system very soon, riding on the clouds. And I think he did. I think that's the Matthew 24 fulfillment. And because of that, you have some very time-bound instructions. If you were to take these instructions outside of time and just apply them to the church at large, we'd be reticent to marry, we'd have very few kids, and we would be in danger of being probably a generation or two away from not existing as a church. So you have to be careful how you interpret these things, and you need to do it within that context. So for Paul, that present distress is the present crisis. Verse 26, it's good for a man to remain as he is. The 27th verse, are you bound to a wife? Don't seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Don't seek a wife. Here's another instance where you need to know context. That phrase, are you bound and don't seek to be loosed, doesn't mean, are you married? Don't look to get divorced. Have you been divorced? Don't look to get with somebody. Or are you single? Don't look. No, the phrase bound and loosed has to do with a first century engagement. Young people in that era would bind themselves to another person. You and I might sometimes call this an arranged marriage. It was often that way. And you knew who you were going to marry from the time you were a child. And Paul says, if you're bound, don't fight against the binding. Don't seek to be loosed because we're at the end of an era. Let it be what it is. If you aren't bound, don't feel like you have to go seek a wife. And again, these are statements made within the framework and the timing and the context of their day. 28, but even if you do marry, you haven't sinned. If a virgin marries, she hasn't sinned. Time out. Why would it be a sin? Why does he even bring this up? So under no other contextual circumstances would we even argue that it would be a sin to get married. But if you knew you were at the end of the world as you know it, whether you can argue it's the end of the actual world or the end of the world as they know it, in a crisis in which feeding one mouth is almost impossible, feeding two could be considered abuse, could be considered foolish. Having a child then could almost be considered abuse because you can't raise it. It might die of malnourishment. And Paul says, so would it be a sin to get married? He goes, no, it's not a sin. Nevertheless, such will, listen to 28, nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. Paul does not mean, I've misinterpreted this before, okay? I'm going to admit, I've messed this up. Because I've said before, Paul tells you you're going to have trouble in the flesh if you get married. It's just part of the consequences of getting married. Although I do think you probably will have some trouble in the flesh. It's not a domestic trouble, mental trouble, spiritual trouble, sexual trouble. It's literally in the flesh. It's a contextual statement. Listen, times are rough. It's a present crisis. It's the end of the age as we know it. If you're not about to get married, you probably shouldn't. If you're about to get married, fine. I just want to warn you, you will have trouble in the flesh. What trouble? It's going to be tough. It's going to get tougher. And don't be surprised if that's the lot in life. And it's good advice, and it's one that we shouldn't forget, even though the context is not necessarily ours. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to jump into the time is short, the form of the world's passing away. We've talked about it off and on over the last weeks, but I'm going to get deeper into it tomorrow because I think there are more eschatological cues in 1 Corinthians than this book is often given credit for. And we'll jump outside of this book to grab a few more from New Testament writers and talk about why. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.